As I mentioned, what gave impetus to this message was me being lost in Damien Escobar's beautiful violinist piece. And again, you should Google it. It is a masterpiece. And in that, my soul began to soar with joy that God had created this kind of gift in this man. And I started to think about all of the goodness in the world. Some may say, as we look around the world, and maybe you're in a place of suffering now, that there simply is no good in the world. Some of you may be in a place where you say that God didn't create good because all I see is evil. I get that. As we look around the world today and we see on a global scale, amen, that there is evil and there is this angst. Someone read wrote a piece called "That We Are Compassionate at Our Core," these professors from Atlanta Theological School. And I asked them, if we are compassionate at our core, how can you explain the Holocaust? How can you explain slavery? I had someone pick up a medical bed at my house the other day, and she's a chemist that does missionary work in Cameroon. And she talked about they don't even have clean drinking water. And it's not that it's a lack of resources. They said that the French, the colonizers, are coming in and instilling all the value of the land and intentionally keeping that country in a destitute situation. I said, that's just evil. I get those who are processing what I'm saying. How can God say it is good when I see evil on a global scale? I see evil even in Satan. Dr. Jennings knows this is called a theodicy question. If God is so good, how do you explain evil? Why is Satan allowed to roam and reign? If God is so good, not only on the cosmic scale, even on the national scale. Somebody told me, and I missed this story, some African-American was, somebody was being robbed or something, and he was had captured the criminal, and while he was on top of the criminal, the police came in and shot him. When you look at that, how is God good when somebody is trying to do good and dies? If you look at on a local level in nature, we see not a world of goodness. As you look at nature, one theologian, Dr. Wilson, said that it looks like a world at war. When you look at the animal kingdom, bugs eating other bugs, birds eating them, animals eating other animals. When you look at all of this, and I can't watch so much of the animal kingdom because sometimes those tigers, boy, they scare me half to death. They're vicious. The crocodile who does not care what they eat and who they eat. How is that good as we look at the animal kingdom? Dr. Wilson, while he was in seminary, and this really stuck to me, he said that he went to his professor's door, and on his professor's door, he had a picture of a cheetah who was attacking a gazelle. And he was about to eat the gazelle. And on that picture, his professor wrote this Hebrew phrase, Wayar Elohim Katab, which means in the Hebrew, and God saw that it was good. Doesn't that boggle your mind? How is that good? But I'm not, you know, in the legal profession, they have something that's called a petition that is either moot, meaning that the courts have already resolved it, or if you bring a case, it's called not right, Dr. Turner, Judge Turner. That means it's an issue that has not yet arisen to. It's actually an actionable case. In some sense, I am working out my theology in front of you. It's not ripe in my spirit. I'm still trying to figure it all out. Because I agree that it's simplistic, what I've been saying. How can you explain evil? Well, I've been saying all of my life, Dr. Jennings, it's because evil exists because of the fall of man. But that's just clean way of looking at this thing. If God is good, and at the beginning of time, all things was good, how did humanity and creation ever get corrupted? Y'all hear what I'm saying? If God made everything good, what happened to Satan in the first place? How was he ever tempted to be bad? And we put this in a clean little box that, you know, sin entered the world. The first time sin entered the world, according to Augustine, it was totally voluntary. After that, he says it's voluntary because after that, then Satan hit the scene and then he began to draw us and tempt us. But at the beginning of time, if Satan, Adam and Eve was good, it was voluntary for them to go against God. Now, in my little peanut brain, what happened was same thing that's happening now, that we really want to be God. It's not good enough for God to take care of us. Satan says, if you eat of this fruit, you can be independent from God. Guess what? You can be just like God. And again, I don't know why, but I think, you know, this is a collateral issue. Somebody say this is off pastor's note. Say it's off pastor's note. But one of the things I was thinking, we have so many humans, and I have a dog myself, but there seems to be a rise in everybody with a dog. And I believe, Jason, we like dogs because, you know, we get to control them. We get to be like dogs to God to them. We like that they wag their tails. They come to the door. We control everything about them. In some sense, we get to control that animal. So if you go to D.C. and everywhere, everybody got a dog. And we love dogs more than we love people. I never shared this story. Watch my time, honey. I never shared my like I said, this is ripe. I'm still working out my theology. Last Christmas, we lost our dog, Shadow. And it was 3 days before Christmas. And he got out of the fence. You know, we have cameras at our house. We saw him just skipping on down the street. And it was raining and sleet. And it was cold, and at the third day, we thought he was dead because a leash was on him. We thought he'd got tangled up and died. But on Christmas Eve, we heard a barking in the backyard. And there Shadow was, like he never left, on our deck. But the amazing thing was that the animal rights people, I don't know what Jackie did. She went online, told her we were looking for a dog. They came out like an army. They put up posters, put a drone in the air. This is a true story. And we just gave up on Shadow. Say, he dead. Now, we owned the dog. We gave up on him. They kept searching every day. But we see in Genesis that there is a hierarchy. What am I saying? Is that in nature, God is saying that it is good. And I think what he means by that is not just a aesthetic goodness, that God is saying is good because everything he created for a purpose. So I want you to write down, God is good and creation is good because everything God created has a divine purpose. So it's good for God's purpose. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good for God's purpose. If you don't remember anything else, you got to understand, everything God created was created and is good for his purpose. Creation is good. And this is Dr. Wilson's summary. Creation is good because it reflects the complexity and creativity of the nature of God. We don't see simplicity in nature. It's complicated. The lion and the cheetah attacking nature and devouring it. It's complicated. The little bugs and the giraffe and our fingers and our eyes. And we see in nature the very nature of God, the complexity of God. And not only do we see the complexity of God and the nature of God in creation, we see that everything is conducive for life. Everything God made has a purpose, as I indicated. The bugs have to eat other bugs. The lion and the cheetah have to eat gazelles. And some of y'all may think that's animalistic, but you have to eat chicken. I know we got a few vegetarians out there. Just a few, though. But everything God created is conducive for life. God created a world that he said is good because it has divine and sovereign purpose. Now, I never looked at this until this message, but the first chapter of Genesis has a nice flow to it. If you look at Genesis 1 through the first 3 days, and I'm not going to take time to do it now, but go back and read the first 3 days. God creates an environment. He creates the heaven and the earth. He creates the seas and the land. He creates the skies. Turn to your neighbor and say, God creates an environment. So he creates the habitat, the environment. And then in the last 3 days, 4, 5, and 6, he creates the inhabitants. Do y'all understand what God is something else? First day, he creates the place. And then the last 3 days, he places what's going to live in the place. Y'all don't hear me. Everything God creates has a purpose. This is the genius of God. First 3 days, land and sea and sky. The last 3 days, fish and birds and vegetation, and then us. God's creation is good because it has an interconnectedness, a purpose. Somebody say, God has a purpose. God has a purpose. God's creation is good because of the complexity and creativity. We see the nature of God. God's creation is good because everything God creates has a purpose. And then lastly, God's creation is good because we see clarity in Christ. You'll never understand what God is doing in life until you accept Jesus Christ. Where am I getting this from? Turn to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. Life is not, turn to your neighbor and say, life is not simple. Because it wasn't created by a simple God. And so there are mysteries to life, and even suffering is a mystery of life, but God has a purpose in all things. And you'll never understand it until you accept Jesus Christ. Why? Because everything was created for him. 1 John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. We all know as Bible scholars that the Word was God, was Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Check out verse 3. Through him, somebody say through him. Through him. All things were made. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Turn to Colossians, talking about clarity in Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:15, NIV puts it this way. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Nothing makes sense outside of knowing Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, him being Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. My brothers and sisters, what I am trying to get us to see in these brief remarks is that life is complicated. But quit whining about what is not right in life. It'll never be perfect down here. And to some extent, it's still a mystery to me why racism is still here. It's still a mystery to me how people hurt people and go out of their way to exploit human suffering. It's still a mystery to me why innocent people, nobody's innocent, while decent people die and are sick. But one thing I see in the Word is that everything, including the suffering of God's children, has a purpose. And I wish I could answer all of your questions. Why children die young? I don't know. Why someone betrayed you? I don't know. Why someone who carries their Bible, say they love the Lord, lie, cheat, steal? I don't know. But I know this. All things, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good. There's that word again, of those who love the Lord. Yes, the animal kingdom is mysterious. The cheetah is attacking the gazelle. You eating the cow. We like to look at the animal kingdom like we something different. You eating your cow, you eating your chicken. My neighbors used to hunt squirrels. Everything on the planet, humans are eating somewhere. Even mice, Lord have mercy. This is complicated stuff. And I don't understand it all. But I know God is good. I just want to say, if you think Satan is equal to God, one scholar said there's no duality or dualism philosophically about evil and good. In other words, I think it was Martin Luther that says that Satan is God, Satan. What he meant by that is God controls him. It says in the beginning, God, not God and Satan created this world. In the beginning, God. And so whatever you're going through, know that God is bigger. And I know I can't speak to your pain in life. I don't know where your hurt is. I know where my burdens are. And sometimes me and God have a talk about it. God, he can handle your anger. He can handle your disappointments. But one thing I think God sent me here to say is that you have to address your pain and your questions with the sense of faith that this big God that is so intentional that is so purposeful. You really got to read Genesis again through the lenses of God first 3 days creating this habitat. And then what this divine providential mind did that the first 3 days and then filled it. This is not some random God. God knows what he's doing. I know you may not feel like it, but there's a reason why your eyes are not on the top of your head. And you don't have feet for hands. Come on, somebody. Whatever you're going through, God knows. He knows what he's doing. And I can't speak for you, but I know God knows me. And just like Sharon, every spanking I got, I deserve every one of them. When God chastises me and God lets me fall on my face and God allows me to experience some pain and some suffering and some disappointment, God knows just what I need. As I said many times, and somebody said, God knows how he can lift you before he loses you. And some of y'all can't be lifted too high. Y'all will drive right away from the church in your Mercedes. Come on, somebody. God saw that it was good. In the mystery of life, God heard Damian Escobar's beautiful violinist. In the mystery of life. And you know, the complexity of that song, it's actually called Unthinkable because it's kind of thinking about a romance. It's really not a church song unless you can reinterpret it. Because that's what we got to do all through life. We got to reinterpret our fallenness and still see goodness in our fallenness. And know that God was not lying. Brother Bob, God knows what he's doing. Everybody say, God saw that it was good. As we look at this crazy world, I still declare, because God said it, it's good. You're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. But God says that when he created us, what we do with our free will is our choice. But God said, at our core, I made you good. And Jesus came to redeem us and return us to our goodness. And we have to keep surrendering to him. Because Satan is on the prowl, trying to pull us away from God. But I want you to know that God said you're good. That life is good. And so let's quit whining so much. Let's quit complaining so much. Let's walk around here experiencing in everything the sacredness of music, the sacredness of art, the sacredness of humans helping humans, the sacredness of death. Yes, death is sacred because Jesus said, God said, we are all appointed here for a certain amount of time, and then we will have to give an account for the deeds done in the body. If you're struggling with theology today, with the existence of evil, I don't have all the answers. But I do know that sin, as Augustine said, is a defect. It was voluntary. And it happened because we turned away our focus from God. And we have a tendency to believe that there is something better than what God promised us. And every time we take our hands, our minds off God and we pursue that something better, we find ourselves disappointed. Because God's word is true. Come on, Moriah. Remember, no matter what you're going through, my favorite verse, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Come on, let's